This week on the GPP Activism and Corporate Governance Newsletter, Treasury Secretary Bessent comes to Deal Books Summit to cancel Times subscription. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent, unable to find his New York Times password to cancel his subscription, appeared live at the annual Deal Books Summit, emceed by business journalism impresario Andrew Ross Sorkin, and asked Andrew to nix his Times account and dared to say the Gray Lady is no longer the paper of record. Andrew and Secretary Bessent sparred on inflation, tariffs, rush hour 4, and just about everything. At one point, Secretary Bessent called Andrew a pop historian, based on the well-reviewed 1929 tale published recently. The two did agree on how wonderful Michael and Susan Dell's $6.2 billion donation was, which will give 25 million young kids $250 and a chance to own a piece of the American dream, in Secretary Bessent's words. Huzzah! Andrew got Secretary Bessent to admit that his views on tariffs had evolved and got Larry Fink to admit his view of crypto evolved all the way from staunch critic to BlackRock issuing a Bitcoin ETF. Mary Barra of GM talked about dialing back EV production based on consumer demand, and Alex Karp, perhaps the most candid and unusual CEO of our times, articulated a strong defense of the country, how prolific his company is at protecting the U.S. and its allies, and why he despises the Ivy League. Later in the event, when Andrew asked Anthropic's Dario Amodei who the winners and losers of AI would be, and whether we are in a chatbot-fueled bubble, Dario half-joked that there are some running their businesses with a YOLO philosophy, for older readers you only live once. In the governance world, Larry Fink addressed the Trump-floated proposal to take away voting rights from the big three index players by saying without large long-term investors the activists would rule the roost, noting BlackRock votes with management over 98% of the time. Brian Armstrong of Coinbase was asked about moving to the Lone Star State from Delaware, and he said Delaware has become too unpredictable. Delaware Court of Chancery Vice Chancellor Lori Will would beg to differ and makes Delaware's case for the simplicity of their corporate law structure in a new paper. Guests included venture investors Bill Gurley and Josh Wolf, elite media such as Diane Brady of Fortune and Stephanie Ruhle, CEOs such as Enon Kreis of Mattel, and even Andrew's parents. Throughout the day, we were treated to lattes from Invest in Puerto Rico, chocolates from Capital One, and a copy of Andrew's book. We have read it. We congratulate Andrew and our friends at DealBook. In activism news, a new report published by the Conference Board and reported by the FT showed that companies with female CEOs made up 15.7% of activist targets from 2018 to 2025, despite comprising only 6.3% of the Russell 300 over the same period. Reporters at Bloomberg highlighted Barrington Capital joining forces with Starboard Value and Elliott Management as the activists go after payments firm Bill Holdings and push the company to explore strategic alternatives. Banking Dive noted rising litigation over the Comerica and Fifth Third deal earlier this year. Activist investor Hold Co. is alleging breaches of fiduciary duty by both companies, arguing that the proposed acquisition of Comerica by Fifth Third was negotiated over an extraordinarily compressed timeline and motivated by the Comerica CEO's desire to retain a lucrative position at the company after a sale. In deal news this week, the FT covered Goldman Sachs' acquisition of Innovator Capital Management, a provider of defined outcome ETFs that use derivatives for risk mitigation. Goldman will spend $2 billion to expand its active ETF capabilities. The journal shares that, based on recent filings to a Brazilian court, and despite publicly teaming up with Silver Lake and Affinity Partners on the purchase, the Saudi PIF Sovereign Fund is poised to own 93% of video game company Electronic Arts following its LBO, an unusually high ownership outlook for a take private. Bloomberg's Lucas Shaw reports that in a sign of confidence of receiving antitrust clearance to acquire Warner Bros., Paramount Skydance has more than doubled its proposed breakup fee to $5 billion. On to corporate governance. Adapted from his recent speech to the New York Stock Exchange, SEC Chairman Paul Atkins penned an op-ed for the Wall Street Journal in which he discussed how, ahead of America's 250th anniversary, simpler disclosure rules will help companies and investors moving forward. Reuters scooped Norges Bank's efforts at Microsoft this week. The fund, who as the tech company's eighth largest holder with a 1.35% stake worth $50 billion, plans to vote against the reappointment of Satya Nadella as chair of the board and his pay package, along with a demand for a human rights report in Microsoft's business practices. In the land of public offerings, the FT is reporting that Anthropic's initial public offering could come as soon as 2026, with the company retaining Wilson Sonsini to evaluate options. It would quickly become one of the largest IPOs ever, testing the public market's appetite for one of the premier AI labs in Silicon Valley. Wealthfront will look for a $2.1 billion valuation in an IPO. The profitable 17-year-old company is set to be one of the only tech firms to try to go public before the end of the year, and could go public as early as next week. Following the departure of its CEO and Elliott's involvement, Barrick Gold is reportedly is exploring listing a small minority stake in assets that includes mines in Nevada and the Dominican Republic. From our desk to yours, Yingtao, a Chinese fine dining restaurant named after the owner's grandmother, is tucked away amid the bodegas and bars on 9th Avenue in Hell's Kitchen, in a neighborhood that is the right kind of gritty meets insomnia cookies. The Michelin guide shared our sentiments, noting that owner Bolin Yao's beloved grandmother serves as both the namesake and culinary inspiration for this stylish Hell's Kitchen hideaway, an unassumingly ambitious project that aims to reinterpret Chinese cuisine through the lens of Western fine dining. Yingtao is part of the generation of high-end Korean and Chinese fine dining that has exploded in the city, and today, December 5th, coincidentally, is its two-year anniversary. When you walk from the bar area to the dining room, you pass by fish and duck hanging in the window of the fridge. It has a seven-course tasting menu plus some ADD-ons, and it was well worth the $165 PP price and an efficient but well-chosen wine list. The dining room sits right in front of the open kitchen, so you have a bird's eye view of the many chefs at work. We started with three weak-aged tuna in a spring roll with candied ginger and nearly fell over with a dish called bao, which consisted of sea urchin truffles sitting on top of a mini purple sweet potato. Next up is a Montauk fluke with kumquat, ginger, and chili. Somewhere between appetizers and entrees was jiaozi, kurabuta, corn and black truffle, while in season. From the Hudson Fish Farm, seared trout with chamomile sakin saltus. Then for the last entree, the wagyu, with hoisin, snow fungus, which we were unfamiliar at first but now love it, and pear. For dessert, we had apple with winter melon and lemongrass. And lastly, baba, a fermented sweet rice. We thoroughly enjoyed it, so add it to your list. In People Moves this week, after a year-long search, HSBC named former KPMG executive Brendan Nelson the bank's chairman, and Evercore hired former JP Morgan Global CEO, head of healthcare Ben Carpenter. Three upcoming events to keep on the calendar. December 9th, Bloomberg Activism Forum, New York, NY. December 8 to 9, WSJ CEO Council, Washington, D.C. February 2 to 3, WSJ Invest Live, West Palm Beach, FL.